Episode 516, January 4th, 2021.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they are.
Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and
Joe. 2021, Joe. Who thought we'd even make it?
There's someone in chat named JL Hates Kids. What does that mean?
I referenced, because remember we talked about JL probably loves Cuomo, and then he cited all these tweets of him bashing Cuomo.
I gotcha.
And then I said, all right, well, we should just every week give him a task. And then I mentioned, did he mention anything about the incredibly systematic racist decision to keep kids out of school, and I said it's okay. JL probably hates kids. And then he didn't respond. So clearly, I think we can say JL hates kids.
Okay,
and there's nothing wrong with that. Kids are horrible. We all agree.
Now it makes sense.
Yes.
So actually, JL hates kids. Just commented in chat. Are you going to make Robbie pick the final contestant for The Bachelor? So is The Bachelor on right now?
I believe the new season of The Bachelor starts tonight. It's
8 p.m.
a guy.
Tonight.
Yeah, he's it's this. It's this handsome, perfectly chiseled black guy who, according to the promos, has never been in love before. He played football at like Wake Forest, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he's never been in love. I don't know. Maybe that's true.
Well, why would you ever be in love? If you're that hot through high school and college and you're on the football team, I mean, wouldn't you just play the field?
What do you think? Yeah, but even if you play the field, you still might experience love. Love isn't, I guess, I know Chris Rock has a joke, you're only as faithful as your options. So, I mean, I guess I understand that. But, you know, ultimately, no matter who you are, you'd like to find love, right? You don't want to be alone.
Oh, I agree. But he also could have just been dedicated to his football career. I mean, a lot of times, you know, even to play in a college at that level, it's going to take some dedication. So maybe he was just all about potentially playing in the NFL.
I was speaking of the NFL.
But wait, what's the question? Robbie, are you going to pick the winner?
Do you want to pick the winner, Robbie?
Are you going to pull up the pictures for me?
No, I'm not doing all that.
Well, okay. But I would like Robbie to pick the winner again.
If we give him time, then
the only thing I've heard is that I heard Howard Stern talk about him today, and he didn't give any spoilers, but he just said that this guy's anxiety-ridden about being the first black bachelor.
Okay, which means nothing to anybody.
What's the anxiety?
Because the previous two black bachelorettes picked white guys. And so now he feels pressure to pick a black girl. He doesn't say it in those words, but that's apparently the problem.
Oh, I see. His anxiety is that he feels like he's pigeonholed. Can he pick? You know what he can do to go against the grain is not he can pick whoever he wants, but what if he picks someone with a small ass? You know?
All right, Robbie. Will he pick white or non-white?
Well,
are there more white or non-white contestants?
I know nothing.
I got
there's just one black girl.
He feels like he's damned if he picks a white girl. Black people would be mad at him if he picks a...
Okay. by be mad at him, there'll be like some negative comments on Instagram. Like nothing will happen to him.
Yeah, that's exactly...
Nobody will actually be mad.
And then he'll apologize, and then...
right.
know, that's usually how it works,
exactly
right?
Exactly correct.
He's not letting down... the black community if he picks some white girl named Whitney.
You know what the great Jordan Peterson said? He said, you know, if you don't apologize, 2 weeks later, it's gone.
There you go.
It's true. Yep. Unless you're Trump. Okay. Everybody else, it's gone. If you don't apologize, they'll just forget about it in 2 weeks. Anyway, I was in here doing my show yesterday. By the way, I don't know if I've said this on here, but Rob has been writing a segment for me for my pregame show.
Yes, all things AFC North,
which initially was your segment.
Yes,
and I hate writing it because it occupies a lot of my time because it requires the most creative thought. And now that you're doing it, my life has gotten a lot better for
right.
sure because you write it. And what I had been doing is not even reading it and then just trying to figure it out while I'm on the air.
Which I'm used to with our murder mystery, people
but I actually,
reading the script, knowing it's the first time they've read it. Yeah.
But I actually read it this time beforehand, and so I was able to deliver it, and I think it was my best one. In the end, go ahead,
I think it was strong, very strong. Good job, guys.
Well, I'm upset. It's the first one that I didn't listen to. I forgot, and I tuned in 5 minutes too late.
Yeah, I thought it had some laughs, but at the end, you said the five players that I would least like to fight. And, of course, you did a good job because you had the three players that nobody wants to fight, and then you had a Raven, and then you also had Chase Young from the Washington football team, which, by the way, if you were really in a fight with him,
yes,
that would be not good.
No, not good
to be
all.
In a fight with him?
No, that would be bad
news. I mean, he's mauling giant offensive
exactly.
linemen. It's not
yes.
even, it's no contest. Yeah, so you're right. If he was really angry with me.
Oh, that'd be terrifying.
Well, all those guys would kill
of course,
me. Yeah, but
yes.
him particularly, he was particularly ridiculously strong and fast and nasty. Yeah, so, by the way, it's dumb because I don't want to be a fight.
I know.
Every NFL player, including Justin Tucker, would beat the shit out of me.
Of course. But, I mean, I thought about making it just anyone in general doesn't want to be in a fight with, but I just thought the imagery of you having to fight these guys. It came from the Myles Garrett,
Mason Rudolph. And it was really, it was really good.
You didn't change the order or anything?
I changed nothing about it. I loved it. But, you know, my father.
By the way, can we talk about how Myles Garrett went up to Mason Rudolph after the game and they hugged it out, kind of.
Well,
which is weird to me because if somebody called you the N-word and didn't apologize,
you wouldn't hug it out.
I don't think that you get over it.
Well, I don't want to get too far in this because I've talked about it on the air probably four or five times about how frustrated I am that's something like if I didn't say that but you were trying to justify your behavior,
right?
And then you accuse me of saying that. You've done damage to me that I might not be able to recover from. Luckily, everybody knew he was lying, right? So because everybody knew he was lying, it didn't have the effect. There's probably less than 1% of the population actually believes that he did that,
right?
Which is kind of hilarious because now the other guy's the Walter Payton Man of the Year candidate for the Browns. But whatever. So you're right. I would not forgive somebody for that. What I might say is I said, listen, I get it. I do. I get it. But you remember what you did. We got into a fight, and I get it. Maybe I didn't even behave properly, and that made it justify that you tried to hit me with my own helmet. Maybe that's true, too. But remember then what you did. Like, I can't recover from, so you probably need to go make that right.
Right.
You know, that's probably what I would have said. But anyway.
By the way, when I wrote that, because I did research on Mason Rudolph, and he's actually dated one of the girls that was on The Bachelorette.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, but I wanted to just shit on him because he's dated like all these tens. And I was like, his life's actually been pretty good.
But, yeah, no, it was funny what you wrote. But anyway,
we're getting off topic.
Right. So anyway, I'm in here. Now, it's my dad. I don't know anybody less easygoing than my father.
Right.
I mean, I think about it and I realize that since he's 78, I can't, there's no changing him. This is who he is. He has stress over everything. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. Why is there a bottle of water outside? I thought this happened. I thought that happened. Why aren't you doing this? Why'd you come out of this room? I mean, he never stops asking questions. Today, Rob and I'm going to get back to the show. Rob and I are out front because Rob just pulls up. Okay. So I just pull up too, and we're supposed to meet before the show at 5:15. It's about 5:10. My phone text, don't you have a show today at 20 minutes? Like, I got my own life, 52 years old. I have everything under control. And also, I live a life that's such that I have to have structure. It's not like if I didn't have order in my life, I couldn't do what I do. I have to have everything in order. So
it's also not a hard deadline, our show starts.
Right, right, right. So, and by
it's
the
not
way,
98 Rock.
And that's the other thing. He's like, where's Katie? Don't you know where she is? And I go, well, I have a mechanism to know where she is at all times. That's why I don't worry about that stuff.
You have a low jack on her.
Right. And here's the other thing. So you think about the things. Like, he's like, where did Katie go? She says, hey, I'm running errands. And I go, He goes, what's Katie doing? I go, well, she's running errands. He goes, where'd she go? I go, I don't know. Like, I literally don't know. And I don't think I'm that. I think I'm easygoing. Mm-hmm. I'm the most easygoing of the Robinson men by a factor of a lot. Yes. Right. But I don't know that I'm a particularly easygoing guy, because if you're going to be conscientious, you can't be too easygoing. And, mm-hmm. and I am. Right. So like we, like you think like we run the murder mystery. You can't be too easygoing or it won't work. Right.
Yes.
But we're as easygoing as we can in that thing. But my father, I stress out about him because I worry that he's just can't enjoy himself because all he does is sit around worrying about different things, like when the show starts. Right.
Yes.
So anyway, so there's that. And the other thing he does is he always asks me questions that I've every single time he's asked me, I told him I don't know the answer to.
Right.
Are you doing this on this day or is the show live? I don't know.
Right.
Like I don't. I really don't. Yeah. I mean, I assume it is, but Robbie's the guy to go to regarding that. But anyway, so yesterday I'm in here and I'm doing the show now. I do the show every day when it's at 1 from 9 to 12:30. And I've told him it is a million times. And I've also done it a bunch of times in mm-hmm. here, right? So, and everything, it never changes. I do the first, I get coffee, right? I come down here, I do my 9 o'clock break. I then walk out of the room to go heat my coffee up. Every time, I've never done anything different. And every single time he goes, I thought you were doing the show. I mean, every time. It never fails. Every single time I have to say, Dad, the first hour, we play commercials and songs. I do 5 breaks. It's about 15 minutes worth of content, 20 minutes worth of content. And I tell him. So anyway, didn't change. So then I go out. He says, why aren't you? I should have just put a post-it note on the front and say, hey, when I come out, I am the song, AC/DC's playing.
He's okay. Very concerned.
Very concerned. Right. Yeah.
What's so anyway, AC/DC?
Yeah, right. Right. So then I come out and I walk out of here again. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this time it's during the time when I was Kirk, and those breaks are much less, right? Because I yes. only have commercial breaks, and then there's a pre-recorded segment with Keith Mills. Other than that, I don't really get to move from here too much. So I'm going upstairs, and my dad goes, Joe, do you know Katie's in South Carolina? Okay, now, I really have no time to because I know she's not, right?
Right.
So I'm like, no, she's not. And I just go upstairs and I heat it up.
What were the chances that she would be in another state that isn't Virginia or Pennsylvania even, yeah, that right. you wouldn't know?
Well, that would be like a 14-hour yes. drive, right. And I was with her the day before. She,
yes.
Whatever. She was in Ocean City, and I left that night, and she was leaving in the morning. In order for her to be in South Carolina, she would have had to have left the same time I did and drove straight to
right.
South
Carolina. Right, she'd be like running from the law.
So, of course, after the show's over at 12:30, mm-hmm. I go in there and I go, let me see. Well, of course, it's a picture. Her grandfather just died.
Sorry.
Okay. And in the picture is her grandfather, which,
yes.
you know who else is in the picture?
You.
Me, I'm in it. Right. So I'm like, well, Dad, clearly she's not there because that's me. I'm in this picture, right? So, and so is this guy who's dead. So that doesn't, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I only have a small window, which is between 12:30 and 1 to get to where I'm going to watch the football game because...
You don't watch it here.
I don't want to watch it on a 32-inch television, right? So I'm going to her parents because her mother's father just died and we're spending time with her, whatever.
Sure.
Of course, as soon as I get there, I get a text and goes, I thought you were on the air till 4:30. So I'm like, no, I'm not. As always, I'm not available.
You're doing play-by-play.
During the game, right? I mean, it's literally over and over. I'm trying to explain these things. But anyway, eventually. Now
you've taken over for Sandusky.
Yeah, so I did. I finally made it back. And by the way, I made it back. Mm-hmm. And I finally got to sit down. And now I'm sitting with him. And then I realized our friend Tony's father died and I was supposed to go to the viewing.
Oh.
So I literally had to stop. I said, sorry, I have to leave again. And I left and I went and paid my respects as well. But one more thing I want to say about my dad.
Is it about this?
It's about that. Okay. Yeah, why don't you describe that?
Well, I'm looking at a trophy comic. That's a Walker Hayes' his Instagram. There's the first like. It says liked by Rob Robinson. Rob.Robinson.397948.
His lucky number.
It's a picture of her lying on her bed, I assume. She has on a regular shirt, it looks like, and her leg is crossed over another leg. So I believe she's got panties on or maybe underwear or swimwear bottom or something. But anyway, it's showing off she's got long legs. It's an attractive photo.
Let me see it. Mm-hmm. Let me see it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Okay, hold on.
It's a good-looking photo. It's a good picture. It's showing off her legs.
Oh, she must be asleep in this picture.
and what does Gramp comment? This is also, I'm looking at her Instagram, but he'll comment on Facebook, correct, Robbie?
Robbie, yes. Do you have the comment? What
yes.
is it?
He said, sorry, I'm not there.
She says, apology not accepted. No. But no, she commented with...
No, she gave him a laughing emoji.
Oh, all there right. you go.
Good, good. You know what we need to do? And this is... I mean, I don't know why this is, it hasn't occurred to me until now.
Have them hook up?
Well, yes, they need to have sex. No, we need to have Walker Hayes on this show.
I agree.
And I just need to say, hey, look, because see, my father, I guess he thinks... I guess he thinks that I'm in this community, therefore he has carte blanche to do all right. this because... His son is Joe Robinson. Meanwhile, I don't even know if she knows who I am. She might not.
Yeah, you're not really in the comedy
no,
community.
No, I'm really not.
It's you're just peripheral now.
I was.
Yeah,
but
you
that
were,
was
of course.
15 years ago right. or whatever. Yeah, so right now.
But I've talked to her. She thinks it's funny and cute. She's not weirded out by it or anything.
All right. Well, we should still have a conversation
I
with
agree.
Her, don't you think?
Ask Gramps to ask for a phone number.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. Yeah. Gramps, go ahead and nah, don't do that because I'm
no.
afraid. I don't want my dad not. I don't care if he direct messages Walker Hayes. That wouldn't bother me. But I do worry about my father learning how to use DMs because next
yes.
thing you know, his social security number, his routing number and all that stuff's in there. So,
but you have to understand a girl like Walker or a number of girls on social media, the things they're getting DM'd, I mean, it's. 10,000 times worse than anything Gramps.
No, no, so, I get, I understand.
So they know what like a sleazy comment
I
is.
Know that, but I guess and this isn't about mm-hmm. Walker Hayes. It's about me. I don't want to be perceived, like I don't want to be associated
right.
with somebody who's sexualizing people. I just don't.
Right.
That's fine if my dad is, he's an old man and that's kind of cute. But
right.
like, I don't want to feel like, hey, because I'm me, you are subject to this, right?
Right.
So I definitely want to distance myself from it. But Gramps just put in chat, I have a picture of Joe with Walker. Now, do you know how many times I've met Walker Hayes? Do you want to know?
I believe it's one.
One time.
That was it.
I met her once. And so my father has a picture with me and my best friend, Walker Hayes.
He also has a picture of you and Suge Knight.
Yeah, right. I've met Suge Knight the same amount of times that I've met Walker Hayes.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We have an update on one of us referring to Mac Bergson as homeless. Rob and Joe show. Be right back.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. These two plan to be wed. It's too bad someone will drop dead.
We're having a wedding, and you're all invited. Die Laughing Productions presents Love and Marriage and Murder. It's the bride and groom's big day. Bells will ring, the sun will shine. They'll love until the end of time. The end indeed, because this is a murder mystery, a wedding whodunit. Can you solve it and live happily ever after? Love and Marriage and Murder stars me, 98 Rock's Justin Schlegel, Joe and Katie Robinson, the real-life newlyweds, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions performers. But the real stars of the show are all you, the wedding crashers in the audience. We have audience roles available for willing volunteers. The rest of you could sit back, laugh, and enjoy a wedding day ruined by an untimely death, and maybe help solve a whodunit.
Next performance, February 13th at McGoobie's Joke House in Timonia, Maryland. For more information, go to DieLaughingProductions.com. Tickets are available right now.
They need to get this fucking vaccine out.
If we said to the listeners that the show is over, what do you think they would think is the most likely reason why?
I think they would think I was too busy.
Okay.
The second thing I think is that they thought there was an argument between Robbie and I.
Yes, some tension.
Yeah, and as a result, it ended.
Who do the Ravens play next week?
Who do the Clavin Schnee in a creek? What?
The thing that's really funny about that show is the guesses. Is it Julia Roberts? Is it Scarlett Johansson? It's Snooki.
Yeah, I got you. No, that makes sense.
That was funny, Robbie.
By the way, you know what else Scott did? So after
Look out, Scott
after he
Reardon.
Took a shot at me, and I'm like, okay, he He's chewing. It's like, good God, man. You're going to take a shot at me?
I poured out about half of it in the yard before I came into the
house. Oh, nice. No, man, work. That worked because Katie's like, oh, man, Robbie downed that.
And I told Gramps afterwards, because we were the last two to come up from the basement, and he goes, oh, I wish I'd thought of that.
Well, there's no cat. There's no dog.
The two things you're hoping.
There's no ferret. There's no guinea pig. There's no hamster. There's a fucking tarantula. You're pro beads.
I'm pro beads.
Should I get beads?
No, I don't think so. You're not a bead guy.
Miggity Mac posted, Gramps, I just sent Robbie proof that Agronsky and Company was at 7 p.m., not 7 a.m. You know how many times Eric has pet this thing?
Zero.
Zero, right. No endorsement of the last guy?
Right.
But Biden is clearly going to suck. Well, if he's in office long enough. He's got to feed it crickets.
Fuck that.
Yeah, it's weird. She did tell me one time she drove home, she spilled the crickets. She spilled them.
Of course she did.
Yeah, yes, of course. And there's crickets everywhere. I'm going to get the vaccine as soon as it's available to me.
I mean, I don't even know how that works. I mean, is it...
You go to CVS?
These things look good for people that are in shape.
Yeah, not my shape, right? Frank goes, what the hell don't you have your buttons buttoned for?
I clean out all the clothes every year. I'm like, okay, what doesn't he wear at all? And then I put it in a donate pile.
Well,
and
you know I wear that.
Probably looked at it and was like, I'll just say I did this by accident.
Gramps in chat says, how crazy do you have to be to pet a tarantula? And then Max says, agreed, Gramps, shows poor judgment. And then Gramps said, not what I taught him. That's correct. He did not teach me to. No, he taught me to be brave.
Okay, is that brave?
Yes, it is brave.
Excellent job, Robbie.
I was with Frank yesterday. We were just talking about Frank trolling me.
Good for you.
And I was trolling him hard because apparently he didn't dry the dog off when it came in.
Hello?
Son of a bitch.
And then the dog jumped up on the couch and I was petting it. And I'm like, oh, the dog's wet or whatever. And her mom just started, Frank, you really need to dry the dog off. And so the whole time. I was like, yeah, no, actually, you do need to drive the dog. I can't just be running around out here. And
were you working that into the Raven stuff? You know what? That play would have worked better if you'd have dried the dog off.
Yeah, oh, no, I swear. That's exactly what I was doing.
Of course you were.
It was nonstop. And every time, it's not like her mom would laugh. She was like, yeah, you do need to drive the dog off. You know, it's part of being a dog owner. And, you don't just let them go out there and come in wet. The house is affected by that, and the dog needs to be dry. But yeah,
you're going
to
be hearing that from Katie your whole rest of your life. Is he off the walker? Is he healthy?
Yeah, no. Hey, he's doing pretty well, man. He's probably, I'd say, 75-80%. He can't lift a whole lot, but he's standing up straight.
That's,
you know,
that's all.
He looks imposing. You know, that's really all he cares about.
You don't
about.
Want to fight him. Him and Chase.
Well, now's the time you do want to fight him because he can't really do much. But you don't want, once he's better, you don't want to.
Are we allowed to share this email, Robbie, or we're just going to do it anyways?
Yeah, we can share.
So Mac Berkson emails us, or Robbie, regarding, well, here, I'll just read it. So I was telling, I don't know if we can say his wife's name, but we'll call her Mackenzie Berkson.
Okay.
So I was telling my Mackenzie, his wife, that Joe said that she looked stunning, and I looked homeless, like a homeless person. This is on the Christmas card. My 10-year-old, who goes to a pretty liberal school, happened to be walking in. He goes to school because they live in Florida. Unlike other places where they couldn't go to school. But anyway, I added that. My 10-year-old who goes to a pretty liberal school happened to be walking in and informed me, Dad, that's rude. People are not homeless. They are experiencing homelessness. People are not defined by their housing situation. When I told him that wasn't me saying that, but someone from a podcast, he told me, well, that is a guy is a mean person. I informed him that, yes, that guy is a mean person. Maybe he's just going through a mean situation, but whatever. Now, I admit some of this labeling stuff goes over the top, and this is pretty close to either being over the top or right at the top of my limit, but I was proud of him for thinking of it in terms of kindness, and of course, anything that attacks Joe, I support. Now, first of all, I said that.
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, I wonder what now, because I would never call anyone homeless. I wouldn't do that.
But this is our...
What kind of a dick would do that?
This is our biggest fan, Joe.
Yeah. Well, no, he doesn't like us.
No, and he doesn't know the difference.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
This is like Robbie not knowing who's singing Desperado.
Yeah,
is
it's like
Glenn
Robbie.
Fry or is it...
yeah, the other Fry, Deacon Fry, right. He doesn't know.
No, is it Don Henley.
Yes. Oh, well, I gotcha. It's like...
It's Don Henley, by the way.
I know it's Don Henley, but I'm saying...
Yes, you know, right. Yes. But if you didn't know, that would be the equivalent of that.
I would be questioning how big a fan you are.
Yeah, and I will also say...
He's probably just used to you insulting. So
yeah, no, like, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm wondering if homeless, if you look homeless, I mean, I'm trying to think of whether or not I agree with this kid. He might be right. He might be. You know, I mean, in the idea, because first of all, let me say this. I know Mac, has a lot of fun at my expense, and I like it, mm-hmm. right? I do yes. like that. However, he and I have the same goals, and that is your number one priority for your kids is to make them kind, right?
Yes.
To make them kind people.
Right.
And then the other stuff, that'll all work out, because if you're kind, you do find your way towards happiness a little bit easier. So I share that goal. And to say you look like someone who doesn't have a home, I guess I almost don't have a problem with somebody saying, hey, that's a no-go. Now, I would still say that, and it wouldn't
right.
do it. But I have no problem. It's not like I oppose what this kid said. Now, the idea of me changing the homeless to experience homelessness, that I wouldn't do. Okay, if you don't have a home, you can say you're homeless. I don't have an issue with that. But then saying you look like a homeless person means I'm applying something about the way that they look.
Yes.
And that's something I get. Now, I would still say that, but I understand what he's saying. And I really don't have a problem with it.
I generally think people that live outside
don't look good.
Look worse than people that live
that's
with
true.
Shelter.
No, I don't. No, I'm not disagreeing.
People that bathe.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing, mm-hmm. but it's almost like you're having expense at their plight, which, by the way, I don't have a problem with either.
True.
But I get, like I said, I'm not opposing what he's saying.
Look, it's better for your kid to be too kind and thoughtful and show empathy than to be the other way.
Right. What if that kid was on there talking about wanting to bang Walker Hayes?
It would be horrible.
Yeah.
But the
that.
Idea that they're not homeless, they're experiencing homelessness. Well, then perhaps McKenzie wasn't stunning. She was experiencing stunningness.
Well, here's the other thing you have to remember. Why do you think Mac Bergson told his wife that story?
Well, because she's the hero.
Right, right. Because he wanted to make her feel good.
Yes.
So in spite
which is
of,
the point? Which is the point of me saying it? I wanted to make her feel good.
Of course,
and then take
yes.
a shot at Mac.
Right, and of course, in spite of what Mac Jr. is saying,
yes.
obviously that story was had enough merit that Mac. You think Mac's telling her everything that happens on the Robin Joe Show?
Well,
I hear
no,
she doesn't
she'd
give a
make
shit.
Him stop listening.
That's yeah. true.
Right.
Right.
If she it was, would probably hate
what
her.
What if it was the other way around? He'd never be able to listen to the show again, right? Mac looks amazing, and his wife looks homeless.
He would have to secretly listen to it.
Yeah, he'd have to listen to it in the car, and if he got caught, he'd be getting in trouble.
She'd think he's having an affair. He's like, no, I'm just listening to Rob and Joe.
Can I tell you something that is...
Wait, is he commenting, Mac, in chat?
I don't know that Mac is...
He's not in chat.
I don't think Mac is in chat, but can I say this?
Is he experiencing homelessness?
So my dad does not love the Rob and Joe Show. He doesn't love it. He loves that he has talked about, and he loves Mac Bergson. That's what
right.
he really loves, right? So when he would, but he likes to talk about it, similar mm-hmm. to, and I'm not sure Mac probably,
right.
again, is smart, and he's complimenting his wife, and he's saying, because the best compliment that you can get is when you say, somebody else saw this. Because, you know, they're objective.
Yes.
I'm your husband, but when they say it, it has more merit so
right.
or credibility, right? So I get that. Because, like, when I tell my wife she looks beautiful, she's like, oh, thanks. Like, you know, it doesn't. But if you said she looked beautiful,
right.
that would mean something
yeah,
different, right?
I'll do that.
So anyway, but so obviously, I doubt he's spending a lot of time talking about the Rob and Joe Show, is my guess. But my father spent a lot of time talking about Mac Bergson.
Yes, he
okay?
does.
Now, before September 29th, the only person that he could tell this to was his beloved wife, Aunt Tish.
Right.
And I've actually heard her say on multiple occasions, she's like, I'm tired of hearing about Mac Bergson. She didn't want to hear about him anymore.
Perhaps that caused her to pass
yeah.
sooner than later.
No, no. But I wonder if Mac's wife is like, I don't give a shit about what these, but she probably was okay with it since she was getting complimented.
Right.
But I doubt she wants to hear a lot about the Rob and Joe Show.
No, and I'm on her side on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, right. If
yes.
I were her, I wouldn't want to hear about
definitely
the Rob and Joe Show either.
Don't want to hear about that. So, New Year's Eve show, Magoobie's Joke House. Now, we are supposed to do our murder mystery there. We're going to do what we did last year, early show, stand-up, and then our murder mystery, which would lead to the countdown. But You know, there's no late shows this year. There's no...
Yes, it was at 10 o'clock right. Is when it had to end.
And the whole idea, to me, of a New Year's Eve is going out. You're there for the 3-2-1, Happy New Year, the champagne.
Sure.
That's the whole reason. So, you know, I'd said to Andrews, I don't think we want to do a whole big murder mystery. I don't know who's going to show up, if it's going to be feasible. Well, we end up doing an 8 p.m. show. It's just stand-up with me and Eric and Tommy and Wendy Townsend and Candace Saunders and Mike Quinlan. And little slash stand-up slash roast. And we sold it out. The most we could have, 100 people. So
yeah, people want to do things. We've said that. I'm not going to go into all that, but people, in spite of what, you know. By the way, somebody unfriended me on Facebook. It's not on Facebook. I'm not on their Twitter. Well, I'll tell you that story in a minute.
Somebody unfriended me on Facebook. Somebody having to do with the show.
Really? All right. Yeah. Finish your story, okay. And then I'll...
So it ended up just being a really fun night, and it was a good way to end the year. But Wendy brought this guy, who I guess I'm just oblivious, but he was definitely hitting on Tawanda.
Okay.
Like in front of me. I guess
was it her boyfriend?
I don't know.
Oh.
But at the end of the night, I go, we're on stage, me and Tawanda, the show's over. The stage lights are off, so it's not really a good picture situation. But we wanted to take a picture because we hadn't taken one all night. And she pulls out her phone, and then he just says, I'll take the picture.
Okay.
But he's got his phone.
Oh, I got you.
And then he takes two pictures, and then next thing you know, she's giving, because I'm trying to wrap up my stuff because I sold t-shirts on the stage. And next thing you know, she's giving her phone number to this guy.
Right.
So, and I'm like, why didn't he could just airdrop it? Then wait, why don't we just use our phone?
Yeah, why? Yeah, I got
and
you.
And then he never sends the pictures. So I'm like, wait a minute. So then 3 days later, Wendy sends me the pictures.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And this first picture is the worst picture I've ever seen anybody
see
take.
Let me see it.
That's the...
Jeez. Hold on. I can't even see it.
You can't make out because there's no flash on.
Oh,
and
my...
it's a horrible angle.
Yeah, and it's... Yeah, even if you blow it... Even if you do that, it's a bad picture.
Right.
Blow it. Okay. Gotcha.
So when Wendy texted me, I said, awesome. And then I looked at him. I was like, why did I say awesome?
Not awesome. Right.
And that's the better one. But even then, he's got my book bag in it on the
floor. Yeah. And you have to cut that out. I mean, it actually isn't a bad picture, but the book bag doesn't have
right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Dave Schoffer.
What can you do to get the book bag out, though?
If only I knew somebody that did that.
Yeah, stuff. Robbie's going to have to put you in Aruba or whatever the hell has to happen.
Yeah, we can post these on our Patreon or just on our Facebook. There's no reason to not. But no, you want to guess who? Real quick, though. Tommy and Eric went on stage together.
Right.
And they also did a 12 days of Christmas, 12 months of COVID parody where they had... First of all, Mike Quinlan went up, and I love Mike, but he got a little flustered. I don't know. He was a little drunk, and he got lit prematurely, and it threw him off, and he did not have the best of sets. So
it has to be an epic bombing because I've heard like four people say something.
Yes.
It had to be an all-timer, right?
And then when I paid him, he was like, wow, that's so generous. And I was like, okay, well, you didn't have to take it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You can always say no. Right.
But they were
Mike's funny. I want to make sure that's
Mike.
Yeah,
he's a great guy, and he's very funny. But Tommy and Eric were having people yell from the crowd, you know, just things that
were shitty
about, that
happened. Right.
You know, Kobe Bryant died.
Right.
Zoom
Carol Baskin
that,
killed her husband. Right.
Zoom meetings that went on too long.
Right.
And my kids are at home, and I can't get rid of them for school.
Right.
And somebody yells out, that guy that went up second. Okay. When Mike was right next to me, like off stage, and then he walked up and kind of waved. But somebody yelled, this woman who was this classic, like, MAGA right winger.
Right.
She yelled, Columbus statue being taken down.
Okay,
and Tommy goes, no, these are bad things that happened. And he goes, oh, no, you're for rape and genocide, right? And then she yelled, China! She just yells, China. That's about to happen. So he kept making fun of her. But they ended up being hilarious. And then Eric closed on a song. I guess we should do the songs now since we've
okay.
So Eric had sent me the song he was going to do to wrap up the year. And coincidentally, Dr. Gill, if you remember that show I did outside with him about a month ago.
Oh, yeah, sent the Fuck 2020 song.
Yes, he has a song that he wanted Robbie to produce.
Okay.
Because Robbie says that he does that. So why don't we play both songs? Because they're similar in
Are they
themes.
Called the same thing?
Play them at the same time?
Well, yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, they're both, I think Eric's is more of a fuck 2020, and Dr. Gill is more of a fuck COVID specifically.
Yeah, specifically right? COVID.
Yes.
But they do have a similar theme and feel. One is titled Fuck You COVID, and the other one's titled Fuck 2020.
They're both Bob Dylan, yes.
Okay,
who
right.
should I play first?
Let's go Gill first.
Yeah, let's start off with Gill.
Fuck you COVID, everyone's sick of you. Now we can't go out, we got nothing to do. Started off in China, someone ate a bat. I don't know why, I guess they're low in fat. We're all stuck at home, we're all doing Zoom. It's like the world's worst ever escape room. I look at other people, they look sick, they look suspicious. Then I order Uber Eats, it's always quite delicious. Future's looking grim, future's looking bleak. Haven't had a haircut in over 12 weeks. I'm tired of the virus, I think to myself dejectedly. Now stores, when you check my temperature, do you have to do it rectally? Can't go to school, canceled all the class. I'm using hand sanitizer till it's coming out my ass. School is virtual each and every day. It's nearly 4 p.m. Where's my Chardonnay? Some jobs you can't social distance. You have to come in and punch the clock. Can't social distance as a porn star unless you have a 6-foot cock. Fuck you, COVID. The cure may be in reach. According to our president, you just inject some bleach. Fuck you, COVID.
All right, play Eric's.
So it's been a fucked up year, as we all well know. From gay tiger keepers that do meth and blow. We worked home mostly, and the gyms were all closed. We masked up our faces and covered our nose. So fuck 2020, if I may be so blunt. Fuck 2020, you slovenly cunt. So lift your glass and have a good laugh and say fuck 2020 with me. Fuck you.
Two more verses.
Really,
So I killed Wilford Brimley and the Black Panther too. Killed your favorite Laker, your grandmother too. I killed 007 and Regis Philbin and Alex Trebek. Then I took Van Halen. So fuck 2020, you venomous slut. Fuck 2020, another punch in the gut. So lift your glass and have a good laugh and say fuck 2020 with me. Fuck you!
One more thing.
So we had murder hornets and protested in the streets. Some said they love the cops, others fuck the police. A lot of places gone and it was all a scare. Traded a guy who grabs pussies for one that smells children's hair. So fuck 2020, you venomless cunt. Fuck 2020, another punch in the gut. So raise your glass and have a good laugh and say fuck 2020 with me. Fuck you!
Now, of course, you got the crowd to yell, you know, fuck you. And I recorded some of that. I put the video on Facebook or DLP Die Laughing and mine on the stories, if you check that out. And well, Eric posted it.
Well, what I would say is, you know, I want to be as objective as I possibly can.
Yeah.
Because one is a personal friend of mine, and the other one is a guy that you know. I mean,
they're both personal friends.
Right. I don't know.
By the way, Dr. Gill made it into Tommy and Eric's set.
I don't even. Oh, really?
Yeah. Tommy mentioned seeing him about saying, can you get my wife to get her breasts done? And Tommy goes, I like feet. Can you have her bigger feet?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought one was clearly better than the other.
Well, they're both, I loved Eric's.
I'm not going to say which one I liked better, right. But I would say one was about a 9 and the other one was about a 3. I'm not going to say which one was better.
Well, Eric's a professional musician, so.
But, all right. I liked Eric's a lot better. But no offense to Dr. Gill, who I believe my wife wants to him to do her breast one day. So I want to make sure that I want to treat him with some respect. But what you don't do is say, all right, I want to say cock and then write an entire verse and just try to get cock in there, you know. So I liked Eric's
celebrities dying. I like the rhyming. The rhyming of Regis Philbin and Van Halen.
Which one did you like better, Robbie?
I'm just so happy that we didn't get a song from Jeremy. That's what I like.
That you didn't really. You think,
don't say that. He might.
2 weeks in a row, no Jeremy songs. That's
well.
What
he
I'm
sent me
for.
Something, but it's not for the Robin Joe show.
Oh yeah.
Obviously, Eric's is more well-rounded and thought.
It's also a better song.
Yes.
Meaning musically.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's, you know, when I started my set, years ago, there's this guy, God, I wish I remembered his name. He was friends, I guess he still is, with Doug Stanhope, and he'd always open for him.
Norm Wilkerson?
No, okay. but a sense of humor like that.
Right.
And he went on, he got a late show gig, I forget who, but it was a big one, and he opened his set with, sad news today, Gene Hackman passed away. Of course, Gene Hackman hadn't passed away, right?
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, he goes, oh, I'm just kidding. And, right? So it's great, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to do that. So I was thinking, you know, so I was going to start the show and talk about celebrities that died. So I was thinking who, because I don't want to say Gene Hackman, because that's
Clint
like.
Eastwood.
Well, that's who I was thinking of. Yeah. I don't, because I wanted to find someone that wasn't like, if I said Oprah or Obama or you know, but Dolly Parton, that would have traveled by now. People would have gotten their phones.
I got you. Oh, I see. It has to be somebody like Screech.
But then I wanted somebody people would care about.
Gotcha.
So I think I found the perfect person.
Hold on. This is somebody who's not too famous that they wouldn't have already heard about it, but famous enough.
I think he's equivalent to Gene Hackman.
Okay. I see. Somebody who's endearing. Everybody, he's universally liked, but if he died, it wouldn't necessarily spread like wildfire, is what you're saying.
No, it wouldn't be like,
I mean, this could be a lot of people. I'm going to say John Turturro.
I would say somebody who's bigger than that.
Bigger than John Turturro, okay.
But it's somebody who's a movie star who's known for 30 years.
Well, I can't, Al Pacino's huge. I can't go with him.
He was also a part of one of the most controversial movies on the Robin Joe show.
Oh, Michael Keaton.
Yes.
I think that would spread because Michael Keaton's fairly young to be somebody who dies.
I bet he's in his 60s.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. He's also Batman.
You don't want to get COVID. He was Batman, and he's made a resurgence. He's in a lot. He's in almost everything.
But the crowd bought it. They're like, oh, I was like, oh, I'm just kidding. Yes. And then they got a big laugh. So it worked perfectly. It's exactly what I wanted to have happen.
Oh,
it worked out.
That's the first time I've ever heard you say I actually did somebody else's material.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, at this point. Yeah, since you can't remember his name.
Right. I didn't do it on TV.
You could just steal his joke, I
guess.
He
also was molested by someone, and they did this documentary where they were interviewing this guy, and then he came out and confronted him. It was pretty twisted.
Seriously?
Shit. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty twisted. I wish I could. If I just Googled it, I'd figure out his name.
Somebody, I guarantee I know what that guy did that he confronted. I guarantee I know what he did.
What do you mean, what he did?
The guy that was confronted saying that he molested
him. I don't remember what he did.
So. I guarantee he said I didn't.
I'm probably,
if you're willing to molest somebody, you're willing to lie about it.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
100% for sure. But anyway, I'm not going to go too much down a COVID rat hole, but that's what got me somebody who unfriended me or unfollowed me on Twitter. And since I think whoever unfollowed you, you said they're affiliated with the Robin Joe Show.
Yeah, but this isn't COVID related.
Okay, we'll do that second. Mm-hmm. So I want to do mine. So here's essentially what happened. By the way, if you're on the other side of this, I guess I can understand why you'd unfollow me, right?
Right.
So this guy's like, oh man, I just saw this guy didn't wear a mask, and if people, no wonder this thing's going on, blah blah blah. And I'm like, yeah, that's not really a thing. It's not.
Right.
You know what I mean? People are wearing they are overwhelmingly wearing masks, right?
You have to wear one anywhere you go inside.
Or they'll kick you out, right. Yeah. You know, and it's like, so this is anecdotal, and all these just wear the damn mask campaigns and all that stuff. It's a narrative to say if things go badly, we're not responsible because we have to continually tell people to obey the rules. Meanwhile, everybody's obeying the rules, right?
Right. Every survey, there's 90% mass compliance.
So I've said this clearly and succinctly and often, I've said it on 98 Rock Airways, that I believe there's something more nefarious behind the idea that no one is wearing masks. And that's frustrating to me. Well, this guy posts this and I go, people are overwhelmingly wearing masks. Okay. What you're saying is anecdotal and not really, I'm not interested in it. You're not seeing a lot of people that are wearing masks. And he goes, well, are you calling me a liar? And I'm like, yes. Well, I am right. Calling you a liar.
Yeah.
But I'll give you an example. Today, I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. I went to Dunkin' Donuts. And when I got there, now the Dunkin' Donuts is a half a mile away from where I work. Mm-hmm. When I got there, I realized I didn't have my mask. So I took the scarf from my jacket and I put it around my face and I said, sorry, I forgot my mask, and I got my coffee and I walked out.
Yeah.
According to him, because he gave an example, he went to Lures, which is a restaurant near us, mm-hmm. and a guy stood up and he forgot to put his mask on, and she goes, you don't have your mask on, sir. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, and he put a napkin over his face. Well, right. Meanwhile, does that count? I'm asking, does that count as noncompliance? And that's the thing, it's like, you remember something. If you spent your entire life not wearing a mask and then you forget your mask, you're not the villain that they're trying to represent. You're not right. Also somebody who doesn't plan on wearing a mask. Do you follow what I'm saying? Your intention is to wear it. You forgot it. By the way, this guy didn't say, fuck you, I don't wear masks. He didn't. So you follow what I'm saying? So in this guy's world, right, there's not even any margin of error for right. something. I watched the Washington football team play a game yesterday where they made the playoffs.
Yes.
And during the broadcast, I'm sure you noticed, both Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels both said Redskins.
Yes.
They both apologized for saying it. Now, the reason that the team name isn't Redskins is because that term has been deemed offensive.
Yes.
Well, they accidentally said it. Are they part of the problem?
Right.
No, what's the distinction between these two things, right? There's none. Okay, so give us some time, okay? Give us some time. Give us some latitude. And we, both me and the guy who unfriended me, we agreed you couldn't have 100% compliance. Well, if you can't have 100% compliance and you see somebody who's not fighting, and then you know what he did? I said, it's not happening. He showed me 45 businesses that were cited for COVID, not following COVID protocols. That's what he showed me right. in order to prove his point. How many businesses do you think are in Anne Arundel County?
I don't know, thousands.
100,000? I mean, literally, it's less than 0.1%. And that's what he used, 45.
100,000 businesses?
You have to remember the degree of what constitutes a business, right? You and I have multiple businesses. You know what I mean? We have You have your comedy business. We have the murder mystery. All these things are businesses. So, yes, and he found 45. Okay, so you get the point. The point is that he's wrong, and he's pushing a narrative. It is.
I know he is.
I see it.
You always see these viral videos. There's some mass confrontation. If this is happening as much as you think it is, we would literally have 50,000 a day. Because how many people are out in stores every day?
Yeah, thousands, right?
No, hundreds. There's 50 million encounters a day.
Yes.
So where, I mean, if you're not producing 300,000, 400,000 of these instances every day, then they're not happening, okay?
Yeah.
on the scale that people are acting.
Of course like. They're not.
We're wearing masks.
Yes, we are.
It's probably not going to, doesn't make much of a difference.
And if you're
wish it would just eliminate it.
By the way, I'm doing it, so who cares if
I'm
I don't,
doing it.
Who cares if I don't agree?
Look, I feel like it's wearing a seatbelt on a plane. I do it.
Yeah.
But if we crash, I think I'm going to die.
And you know
but I still do it.
There's a time when you land that they say, hey, you have to have your seatbelt on and your seat has to be up. And you know what? I do it every time.
I listen every time.
And I know it doesn't make a fucking difference. Right. So all I'm saying is that this guy, and by the way, I don't necessarily think, I think this guy's drank some Kool-Aid, obviously.
Right.
And I'm not sure. I do think there's an overarching narrative that's kind of heinous, but that doesn't mean these individuals who buy in are heinous. But if you you can easily say, well, wait a minute. I really don't see a lot of people that are not following protocol, right? Like, let me give you one more example, and then you can tell me your, about your person. We talked about this last week. My father, he wants to follow the rules. We're in El Salto's the other day, and he walked right up to a table. I think I said this. Of girls, he goes, are you the prettiest guy? And he's right next to him, right? And I said, Dad, we're in a national pandemic. You can't. That's something you can't do.
Right.
He probably won't do that again. Well, maybe he will. I don't know. Right. But the idea is that you do have to care about intent.
Right.
So the guy who stood up and forgot to wear his mask and then put a mask over his face, everybody intends on doing the right thing. Just like when you're driving, you tend not to crash into people, but sometimes you do.
Right.
And then when you do, it doesn't mean that people are trying to crash into one another. It seems so obvious to
me. Well, the it's because the face of the MAGA super Trump supporter is a maskless man or woman.
Well, right.
So therefore, a lot of people, that's why they have a mask in their profile picture, to let you know they're not that.
Well,
person.
That's what we do. We go to the fringes and then make that the norm.
Right.
It's a dumb thing. It's
right.
What it's really what people who are up to no good do.
Yes.
I'm dead serious. It's right. People with ill intentions
right.
That go to the fringes and act like it's a norm. So anyway, this guy, I wish I could remember his name. I would actually say it.
Well, the guy I'm talking about, is someone near and not necessarily dear to our show, depending on who you ask.
Okay.
Somebody, I mean, it's a big name. You shouldn't have to think that hard.
Is it Chris Restivo?
Yes.
So he unfollowed you?
I realized on Facebook that I hadn't seen his post
gotcha.
Or gotten any messages.
Right.
And then I looked and I was not his friend anymore. Now, remember I talked about his mom telling me to get lost on Instagram.
Yes, and that's a pretty big.
Yes.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know if it went from him to her to me or that trigger. I don't know what happened, Chris, but I'm sure you're still listening. So happy New Year.
Yeah, who knows if he is or isn't. Obviously, he thinks that we did something wrong to him. He takes no responsibility.
Right.
It's all us. That's fine.
Well, I think he thinks the thing that happened regarding his site or whatever.
Yeah, no.
Is our doing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not. So
it's not our doing.
I don't know what
Joe
to say.
Joe is a fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
But I expect him back at some point this year.
I don't know, man, because now his mom is involved.
Well,
by the way.
Thing against her mom, his mom?
Well, no, she
person.
Has something against you.
Right.
You need to get bent or whatever the hell she said.
Get lost.
Yeah. By the way, I do like that as an insult.
It's pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed that interaction. I want more of that, actually. It entertained me.
Yeah.
But I'm sure, I don't think the chat misses Chris.
No, and let me give a shout out to show announcer Tim, who's
been
particularly funny in text. We have a text string. And what he does, because Rob dates a black woman.
Yeah, I do.
And what he does is every time he finds any black woman on the internet, he screenshots it and he says, hey, Rob, check this out, or something to that effect.
But usually not like a 10. Usually,
yeah, yeah.
Usually they look more like someone Gramps might sell insurance to.
Yes, that's right. And every single time I laugh.
Yes.
And then on New Year's, me and Katie and our friends went up to the beach, and you know, we were not in our right state of mind. So I said, hey, Tim, I want you to send Rob some pictures. So I was encouraging him to do
okay,
that.
Okay, nice.
And he did not let me down. So shout out.
He has pictures on at the ready. It's amazing how quickly he texts probably 100 texts a day, at least, to us.
Yeah, he stopped gambling. Now, we talked about this. I think we talked about this on the air. I have some very strange bets with him.
Yes.
And one of them I have is that, but I think I have 3 years for there has to be a scandal. By the way, it has to be a legitimate scandal. It can't be something, because you can go on the internet and find anything.
Right.
So, because he actually found it, but it has to be something that people are consuming, right? And that's that Melania slept with a Secret Service agent. He said that's going to come out in the next 3 years. And by the way, it's a straight up bet.
Exactly. No odds.
No odds. I get 25 if she hasn't.
Right.
And he gets 25 if she has.
I mean, you're clearly rooting for it to have happened, though.
$25. It's definitely worth it. Yeah.
Right.
Now, I don't want to lose my other bet, which I can't talk about on the air because it involves an NFL player.
That's true.
But that bet, connected. If I lose that, it's a 5-1. I give up $500. That's real money.
Let's talk about, we're just going straight to the end, right, Robbie? We're not doing another break? Or
sure. We can go straight to.
Yeah.
Are you, because this Sunday, I mean, you've been going to different places to watch the Ravens game, but this is a playoff game. You want to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Ideal.
And it's going to be crowded. So I'm worried because I got to get there in time for there to be a seat for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you going to go back to Katie's parents? Or?
I don't know. I might. See, Katie sets up this thing on our TV, which is a 75-inch television, which was in our room. Of course, my dad does this thing. He goes, oh, I guess you're hiding from me.
Right.
So then you feel guilty. So it makes me want to leave the house to watch it so I don't feel like I'm avoiding him. But
this is a stressful game because it's a
playoff
game.
It's an important game. I have to pay attention. I have to talk about it. It's also important in terms of what I root for. Yeah. So I don't know exactly what I'll do. I guess Katie and I will decide where we're going to watch it.
Are you happy that it's Sunday at 1 o'clock?
I think that's my favorite time for it to be. It gives me the most time to prepare.
I thought it was going to be one of the night games because, to me, it's the premier matchup.
Yeah, because of what happened last year. And also, you know, look, people want to watch Lamar Jackson play football.
Yeah.
They want to watch it because it's the – look, Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers are playing quarterback better than anybody else in the NFL. But the most fun to watch is Lamar Jackson. He's the most fun quarterback to watch. So you're right. But I do think that Sunday at 1 o'clock is a prime spot. Anytime Sunday, right?
Well –
I know you're talking about prime time.
For viewers, I mean, it's the most competitive game by the point spread. It's
what's it, 3.5?
Four. But, I mean, a lot of these games aren't that. I mean, the Rams are playing with a backup quarterback against Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the Buccaneers and football team. It's Brady. Saturday
that's
night.
That's good, but I mean, that's got to be a pretty wide spread, right?
Eight points. It's Brady, and so that's going to be big. But Bears, Saints, I mean, that's not. It's a 10-point game. Yeah. Browns Steelers is the Sunday night.
Yeah,
game.
Who did the Bears just play? Didn't they just play the Saints?
They just played the Packers.
Oh, the Packers. Yeah, and it wasn't particularly close.
They hung in there. The Bears somehow the Bears lost six straight, yet they're in the playoffs.
They're
8-8.
They lost six straight. They were 8-2 at one point.
No. They were 5-1, and then they went to 5-7.
Oh, my God. And then they won three out of their last four games, and now they're in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Nice.
But it seems like, to me, the marquee matchup, that's why I thought it would be Sunday at 8 or Saturday at 8. I thought it would be Saturday at 8.
Well, I'm thrilled about the time. Thrilled about it. Because it also gives me the rest of the day to, you know what I mean? I don't have to stay up till midnight. Mm-hmm. You know, I still have all Saturday if I need to do prep. You know what I mean? All the things that I like about a game being played at that time. But that's also my dad. That's the exact same time, 9 to 12:30. Mm-hmm. And so that means I'll walk out at 9 and he'll be like, what are you doing out here? I thought you were on the air.
Robbie, big day for you tomorrow. You start your new job. Does this affect you watching The Bachelor tonight?
It will not. I'm going in later into work now.
Okay.
You're going to be going into an office, Robbie?
Yes.
Do you have a strategy to make a good first impression? Because you can't really undo a bad first impression. I mean, it could take years to undo that.
Yes. I have a strategy.
Do you want to share it with us?
I'm going to ask if anybody's seen The Bachelor from the night before.
Are you wearing, are you going to dress up?
What are you wearing, Robbie, your first day?
I fingered the killer
t-shirt. But Rod, the type of business Robbie's in, you wear jeans, right, Robbie?
Yeah, it's more blue-collar type of attire.
Well, you're not wearing your NRA hat and your I fingered the killer t-shirt.
He's not day one, but give him
casual Friday.
Yeah, give him time.
Yeah, no, I won't be doing any of that.
Are they going to have, because, you know, I've never had a real job. Do they have a meeting and they say, it's our new employee, and then you tell
hey, everybody,
us, talk about yourself?
Yeah.
No, nothing is going to go on like that. I'm going to fill out some paperwork. I'm going to sort of familiarize myself with the way they do things there.
Right, but essentially it's a job you already know, right? It's not like that.
Certainly. I've been in the sign business for more than 30 years.
You're using your same software.
Correct.
When you send in your, I assume you show them samples of your work to get a job. Did you show any of your Die Laughing Productions flyers?
No, I showed all my sign drawings.
Did you show your album cover to Once You Go White or?
No.
Or Joe's album cover.
Did you show them your Yelp reviews of Outback Steakhouse?
Yeah, I think I deleted my Yelp.
Do you know anyone that works there? Your relationship?
Well, yeah, the owner who hired me.
Okay, but you're
Yeah, but you met him when you applied. He wasn't like a previous...
No, not a friend, but he's in the same business as me.
Was so he like, I love that sign. Who did it?
So, Joe, this... So next week we're going to do the show on Tuesday, correct, Robbie?
Yeah, it looks like we're going to start recording at 6:30, and we'll record a bonus for our Patreons.
Right.
But we won't be live next week.
Shout out to our patrons, Chris Harkins. He had a comment, didn't he, on a recent episode,
yeah,
Robbie?
Yeah. This was on our last bonus show, which, by the way, there were some clips from the bonus show in the montage this week.
Yeah, nice. I heard that.
Good one.
He wrote, it was the episode was called Slurve to be Schnitt.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says, this episode is hilarious. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate
it. I took Joe's advice and temporarily quit social media. It has been 2 months, and it has made my life so much less stressful. Please tell him I said thank you.
Oh, man, that's cool.
I think about doing that too. Every day I wake up and I go to Twitter and I'm immediately in a bad mood. I'm like,
yeah.
Why am I doing this to myself?
I don't
so
really
stupid.
Look at it as much. I'll post some stuff, but in terms of reading my news feed, that's like I said, I just did it last week. I'm in a fight with somebody. So
yeah,
I did post something that Katie actually wrote. You want to hear it?
Well, real quick, I want to, this time at our show next week, will Robbie have his story about some being perturbed by something or somebody at his new job?
I don't think he'd tell. Maybe on the bonus show.
Okay.
I say yes.
I'm going to go 100%.
Yeah, here's the, tell me if you get this. So this is apparently a young thing. So I wrote.
I'm so much younger.
Katie wrote this.
Yeah.
I said, it's the 404 yards for me. Do you know what that means?
You're referencing the Ravens.
Well, I'm referencing the Ravens rushing yards, but apparently, like, oh, it's
no,
like,
I don't get the.
It's the haircut for me. It's the blah 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 for me. Apparently, that's something that people are saying now.
I mean, I figured that.
Yeah,
but it didn't.
But that's what I put. But I didn't write it.
Okay, how did it do?
It did. It got 13 likes. It's not.
It's not one of your better ones.
Not one of my better ones. But I wanted to appear young.
The closest I got to saying something political today was, and I got 4 likes. Now, if you didn't follow the football game last night, Doug Peterson, the coach of the Eagles, put in their third-string quarterback for the last quarter.
Sudfeld, yeah.
Just to see. I don't know why, but clearly, I mean, he was horrible.
I know why. He was trying to improve his draft position. Yeah, and by the way, there's no problem with that.
But he acted like he was just trying to win the game.
Whatever. I mean, before you read your tweet, I want to make a comment about this, which I also make on the Purple Power Hour. You can't tell people not to play hard. You can't.
Right.
But you also don't want to, you also want to move up 4 spots in the draft because, and not win a meaningless game. So there's a little bit of a dichotomy there. You play to win the game, as the great Herm Edwards said, but you also would rather have that draft, 4 draft positions better than the win. That's where you are. So what do? You say, give your best effort, but I'm going to put a player in that isn't my best player. I really don't have a problem with it. I really don't.
Well, I think Jalen Hurts, he's the rookie quarterback on his 4th start. If he manages to win that game with backups, I think that does more for him going forward than 4th slots in the draft.
Maybe. But there's an argument to be made.
Right.
I don't think he's the Satan. Anyway, go ahead. What's your tweet?
But I said it's not going to be able to follow this. It's not that interesting. Andrew Cuomo thinks Doug Peterson should write a book on how he managed quarterbacks.
Okay, no, that's good. That's good.
4 likes. Only 2 people that followed me.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm about to pee my pants.
All
right. Let's wrap this up.
Happy New Year, guys. See you.
Later.
All right.
All right, I'm jumping off.
Have a good show, guys.
All right. Thanks, Robbie.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.